Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, December 12th, or I'm sorry, December 6th, 2018. We'll start with a story that is titled Celebrate the Season, Holiday Parade Events Friday, Saturday, and there's a picture of Grinch characters decorate windows on East North Street in downtown Danville. Downtown Danville Incorporated and other organizations are sponsoring a holiday decorating contest for downtown businesses. This was written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. This year, local organizers are pairing the downtown First Friday events and hours of 5 to 8 p.m. Friday and the annual Night of Lights Parade and other activities going on Friday and Saturday. The 2018 Senior Source Night of Lights Parade and Hometown Holiday will be Friday. The parade starts at 6:30 p.m. The route has changed to go west on Seminary Street and then south on Vermilion Street to conclude at Town Center. Julius W. Hegler II will be the Grand Marshal for the parade. Hegler's foundation has provided generous support of the Fisher Theater renovations. The Fisher Theater also is a parade sponsor. The judges and band shell will be at Harrison and Vermilion Streets adjacent to the Fisher Theater. The float judges will be Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., Cher Pollock with the Fisher Theater, Downtown Danville Inc. President Bob Black, and Amy McKinley from Senior Source Danville. The parade announcer will be Larry Weatherford. The parade theme is It's a Wonderful Life. There are about 40 parade entrants. Other activities Friday night will include from 5:30 to 6:15, Radiant Reds from North Ridge Middle School will perform at Temple Plaza. Santa Claus will be at his house at Temple Plaza after the parade. Local artist Hannah Saltzman will be face painting winter Christmas themes at Temple Plaza for $5. She will also have her handcrafted art for sale. The Fisher Theater will sell hot cocoa and other refreshments. Cafe 13 will sell hot cocoa and assorted holiday cookies and will have their holiday drink and special crepe menus. Find unique books by local authors and local art for sale. Other businesses will open where one can stop in for a candy cane. They include Vintage Villains at 126 North Vermilion, Glory Days at 142 North Vermilion, Crafty Girls Boutique at 8 East North, and Sweet Repeats at 101 North Vermilion. And I need to change the page here, sorry. They will feature a hot chocolate bar. Lovin' Cup Food Truck will sell peppermint hot cocoa and iced sugar cookies. Zeke's Eats will be at Temple Plaza and donuts with donuts and drinks. Downtown Danville Inc. and Lift Off Downtown Space will host a winter vendor market of 10 small business and craft vendors in its building at 149 North Vermilion Street with various vendors. The Danville Public Library also will be at the DDI building hosting a free mittens craft. The City of Danville will host gift wrapping by donation and ornament making. Gift wrapping by donation will be available at both DDI's building and Senior Source at 7 East North Street. The ornament making cost is $2 and will be at Senior Source as well. A Christmas coloring contest is starting on the night of the parade. The pages can be colored inside of Senior Sources building. The colored pages will be posted in the City Council chambers at City Hall until December 21st, when Williams will choose the winners. There will be three age categories, 2 and younger, 3 to 5, and 5 to 9. Additional pages will be made available for the Discovering Danville Facebook page for home printing, or they can be also picked up on the main level of the City Hall. All pages must be turned in by December 19th. The winners will be notified and will be able to collect their prize. The Heron will host a hometown holiday dinner featuring Italian food, spiked hot cocoa, non-alcoholic hot cocoa, and salted caramel apple cider. Walk-ins are welcome. Call to make a reservation at 274-8215. They ask patrons to bring hats, scarves, gloves, or other winter wear to donate to those in need. Vermilion County Democratic Party will host a coffee and cocoa party, Winter Farmers Market at the Fisher Theater from 3 to 6 p.m., Digital maps will be available in the Discovering Danville Facebook page, as well as printed copies inside of the participating businesses. Saturday activities will include Winter Farmers Market at the Fisher Theater from 10 to 2 p.m. Sweet Adelines will perform at Temple Plaza from 11 to 11:30 a.m. Steve Rodman and Friends will perform from 11:30 to 1 p.m. at Temple Plaza. Horse-drawn carriage rides will be from 11 to 2 p.m. Voting for the downtown decorated windows will continue through Christmas. About 20 businesses have their windows decorated. Downtown Danville, Inc. board member and senior source Danville's Amy McKinley said downtown patrons can visit each business and vote for their favorite window by making a donation, or they can go on the DDI website to vote. McKinley said all proceeds go to the Vermilion Heritage Foundation and restoring the Fisher Theater. Local artists and groups also have painted the windows of the empty buildings downtown. Santa's house is in Temple Plaza at North and Vermilion Streets. It will be open from 11 to 2 p.m. every Saturday through December 22nd, in addition to Friday night. Bring a camera to take a free photo with Santa. If someone would like to purchase a holiday print of a photo, stop at Speedy Quick Print at 44 North Vermilion Street. The remaining sponsors, December 8th, Classic Homes Realty, December 15th, Courtesy Auto Group, and December 22nd is Trikoki University of Beauty's Culture. There's also a mailbox at Santa's house. Letters to Santa templates will be available at local businesses. Children can drop off letters in the mailbox at Santa's house before December 17th to receive a letter back from the North Pole. McKinley also reminds the public about Light Up Vermilion. She said they had a great meet and greet on December 1st at the American Legion for Vermilion Street neighbors, but she said they would like to see more lights. If people need help putting up lights, she said they have volunteers who can help. The Light Up Vermilion Business Celebration is December 15th. We are asking businesses, as appropriate, to offer a special of some kind to welcome those who might be out looking at the lights, according to McKinley. For example, Buffalo Wild Wings has agreed to offer a cheeseburger and fries for $5 on December 15th, she said. Okay, the next story is titled, Council Hears Shooting Comments, Approves Fire Union Pact. And this, again, is written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. Danville NAACP President Ed Butler told aldermen Tuesday night there still are questions about the officer-involved shooting from June. He said the family still wants to view the camera footage from the police vehicles to satisfy the viewpoint with Gulliford's mother. Butler's comments at Tuesday night's city council meeting followed the announcement Friday by Vermilion County State's Attorney Jacqueline Lacey that there will be no criminal charges in the police officers involved shooting from June 12th on Harmon Street that took the life of 34-year-old Donathe Gulliford. According to Lacey's press release, the video obtained from the initial responding police squad car was not in proper working condition. The video recording device does not illuminate properly in the dark to allow a full and unobstructed recording of events. The video obtained is only partially visible as most of the view is so dark that most of the images depicted are not recognizable, Lacey states. She continues that the video does not depict the full picture of events. The video obtained from two other responding police squad cars was in proper working condition, but did not capture the shooting incident, according to Lacey. Butler also said the Danville Police Department needs to invest in body cameras for its police officers so there are no questions on situations. In other business Tuesday, City Council members approved a side agreement with the Danville Firefighters Union Local 429 related to the SAFER grant and hiring six firefighters. The collective bargaining agreement amendment lays out that the six firefighters could only be laid off at the expiration of the three-year grant. The city will give the union 60 days notification of the layoffs. Also amended was shortening the training program for the new hires who have academy. The language reads, in order to capture savings with the division's budget, the requirements of when a probationary firefighter counts towards manning in the field training program shall be waived for new hires funded by the SAFER grant. A probationary firefighter will count towards manning upon the approval of the training officer and command in a timely manner. The Third Amendment was for a department to not lose a lieutenant in charge of training. The new language reads, in the event that a reorganization of the department occurs, which includes restructuring which member of Local 429 will be in charge of training, the lieutenant in charge of training may be permanently reassigned to fire suppression. If the lieutenant in charge of training is reassigned to suppression, no employee shall be demoted because of the reassignment. They also authorized an application to the Illinois Housing Development Authority for up to $75,000 in funding to secure, maintain, and demolish abandoned properties in the East Main Street corridor area. And they heard from Mayor Ricky Williams Jr. say the issue of standing water at the roundabout with recent rains should be solved. Williams said there were some internal pipes that were clogged and they have been addressed. Okay, the next story is titled DHS Players to Perform One Act Play. And again, there's a picture of, it says DHS players from left, sophomore Zoe Sherman, junior Karen Estes, senior Layla Castro, freshman Thomas Strain, and senior Jaden Puckett rehearsed their lines for this weekend's performance of Tracks. And this is written by Carol Roam in Danville. After a two-year hiatus, the DHS players will take the stage this weekend at Danville High School's Little Theater. Doors will open at 6:30 p.m. both Friday and Saturday nights, with both performances beginning at 7:30. Admission is $5 for general seating. The one-act play, Tracks, by Peter Tarsi, follows a group of strangers who meet in a dirty subway station. They have arrived with limited personal belongings. Their watches have stopped, and they all claim to be in different cities. Soon the group learns there is no way out of the station, and the unfortunate truth is told to them. They are all dead. There are two train platforms, but which platform are they on? Is one bound for heaven and the other one to hell? How are they to decide which train to board? I have to move the page again. Sorry about that. They reflect upon their lives, recalling and confessing past deeds of which they are not proud, hoping to figure out which platform is which. The arrival of someone from the other platform only complicates matters, and the answer remains unclear. As the subway train finally approaches, they must decide whether to stay and ponder their actions further or to have faith and climb aboard to their final destination. Director Nathan Henderson, who is an English teacher at DHS, said he selected this particular play because he had seen it performed at Eisenhower High School in Decatur, where he had taught previously. I wanted to select a play that was relevant and meaningful to the students, he said. Although Henderson performs at the Beef House Dinner Theater, he said he has never directed a production before but wanted to try for the sake of the students who inquired about putting on a play this year. I knew some students that wanted to perform and had asked about it, he said. The last time the DHS players performed was in the fall of 2016, production of Noises Off. Henderson's mother, Nancy, who has been the sponsor of DHS's drama club years ago, is helping with Tracks as well. DHS players was dormant for a while, so I'm here to support him, she said of her son. A couple of the cast members who are seniors said they are thankful for the opportunity to be in the play. Being in the play has allowed me to meet people I wouldn't have, senior Layla Castro said. I'll cherish these moments in my last year in high school. Fellow senior Jaden Sherman agreed. I'm happy that Drama Club has been rebooted in my last year of high school with this great play. It's about really thinking about your life and making the most of it, Jaden said of the play. It's about being grateful. The ensemble cast includes Zoe Sherman, Liam Sherman, Layla Castro, Karen Estes, Jaden Puckett, Antoni Gauche, Cohen Hoskins, Thomas Strain, Andrew Jenkins, and Nathan Surratt. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Bettina Gouge, 62 of Westville, passed away at 11:33 p.m. Tuesday, December 4th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana after a short battle with cancer, which she fought all the way. A celebration of Bettina's life will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, December 8th at Sunset Urbis Funeral Home Chapel, 414 South State Street in Westville, with Pastor James Blue officiating. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, December 7th at the funeral home. She will be laid to rest in St. Peter's and Paul Cemetery in Westville. Memorial donations may be given in her name to Carl Cancer Center, Champaign, or Colon Cancer Research. Linda Louise Wahlfeldt, 72 of Danville, Illinois, passed away Friday, November 30th at OSF Healthcare in Danville. There will be an open house from 2 to 4 p.m. on Sunday, December 9th at 206 West Winter Avenue in Danville. Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center in Danville is in charge of the arrangements. Martha J. Smith, 76 of Georgetown, passed away November 18th at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana with her loving daughter Kathy by her side. Martha was laid to rest at Woodland Cemetery next to her beloved husband, her mother-in-law and father-in-law, her son Philip, and sister-in-law Evelyn. Virginia M. Carrico, 84 of Crispin, Illinois, passed away on Wednesday, December 5th, 2018 at Harrison Crossing in Terre Haute, Indiana. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, December 8th at Crable Funeral Home in Crispin with Reverend Don Shane officiating. Visitation will be for 2 hours prior to the service beginning at 11 a.m. Burial will follow at Woodland Cemetery. For those who wish, memorials may be made to United Methodist Church of Crispin or the Multiple Sclerosis Association. Beverly J. Ellingwood Carroll, 87, passed away at 6:37 a.m. EST time Wednesday, December 5th in Wellbrook of Crawfordsville. Visitation hours are from 5 to 8 p.m. EST time Friday, December 7th at Family and Friends Funeral Home of Wingate, with funeral services at the funeral home at 11 a.m. EST time Saturday, December 8th, with Pastor Dwayne Mycroft officiating. Interment will follow in Waynetown Masonic Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be directed to New Hope Chapel. Michael Garwood, 57, of Catlin, Illinois, passed away at 6:53 p.m. Wednesday, November 28th in Orlando, Florida. Funeral services at 1 p.m. Saturday, December 8th at Robeson Chapel in Catlin. Reverend Phil Miller to officiate. Burial in Oak Ridge Cemetery at Catlin. Visitation is 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at Robeson Chapel. Memorials in his memory to the Taylor Garwood Education Fund. Helen Louise Howard, 97, of South Holland, Illinois, formerly of Hoopston, Illinois, passed away at 10:43 p.m. Wednesday, November 28th at HCR Manor Care in Homewood, Illinois. A visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Saturday, December 8th at Anderson Funeral Home at 427 East Main Street in Hoopston. The funeral service will follow the visitation and will begin at 2 p.m. with Reverend Tom Cece officiating. Burial will follow at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. In lieu of flowers, please direct your generosity to your favorite charity. Edward Eddie Anthony Hillman III, 26, of Armstrong, passed away suddenly at 9:29 a.m. Sunday, November 25th at University of Nebraska Medical Center. A celebration of Eddie's life will be at 1 p.m. Sunday, December 9th at Middle Fork United Methodist Church in Potomac with Pastor George Desmond officiating. Visitation will be from 2 to 6 p.m. Saturday, December 8th at Armstrong Township High School. He will be laid to rest following the service in Partlow Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Edward Hillman III Memorial Scholarship Fund. Mark William Behan, 65, passed away December 2nd in the town of Sweetwater, Tennessee. Memorial service will be announced at a later date. Kiker Funeral Homes in Sweetwater, Tennessee is in charge of the arrangements. Stephen L. Blakely of Danville died Tuesday, December 4, 2018. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Saturday at Sunset Funeral Home at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Visitation will be from 11 to 2 p.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Carol May Gosser, 75, at Anderson, Indiana, formerly of Danville, died at 6:47 p.m. EST time Tuesday, December 4th, at St. Vincent Hospital in Anderson, Indiana. Graveside services will be at 1 p.m. Friday at Stearns Cemetery in Fithian. Pastor Kevin Ziegler will officiate. Rortvedt Funeral Services at 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton is in charge of the services. And I already read that one. Sorry. Looks like that's it for today. Okay, the next story is titled Hoopston TIF Areas to Expand. This is written by Carol Hicks in Hoopston. City Council members learned at Tuesday's meeting the Tax Increment Finance District Extension request passed the Illinois Senate and is on the governor's desk. The city approached the TIF taxing bodies in February to request support to extend TIF 1 and 2 for 12 years to fund new development projects at the corner of Illinois Route 1 and 9 and on land west of Marathon. TIF 1 was set to expire in 2023 and TIF 2 in 2028. Once the approval was received from the taxing bodies, the request was sent to Springfield and approved in both the House of Representatives and the Senate. Although Illinois lawmakers created the TIF and have to approve the extension, according to Mayor Bill Krusenberry, the actual procedure for a TIF district extension is between the city and Vermilion County. Krusenberry said he is in communication with County Treasurer Darren Duncan regarding the TIF extension. We need to get this done, said Krusenberry, since we have projects that need the money for development. The approval by lawmakers and agreement with Vermilion County would extend TIF to 2035 and TIF 2 to 2040. In another council business, bids will be opened December 13th for the 6th Street project. The playground area that was damaged when a tree fell across it during an October windstorm is cleared for the new playground equipment that is due to arrive. The new McFerrin event sign on the west side of the park is nearly done, according to Alderman Alex Holmes. People can now advertise local events on it. A special council as a whole will meet at 7 p.m. on December 11th in City Hall. The next regular City Council meeting will be at 7 p.m. December 18th in City Hall at 301 Main Street. Next story, fifth mayor candidate files paperwork, written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. A fifth mayoral candidate has filed paperwork with the Danville Election Commission to be a write-in candidate. This means a February primary would be necessary. Sheldon McLean, 16 Cedar Street, filed a declaration of intent to be a write-in candidate for mayor at the Danville Election Commission office on Wednesday. This means there will be five candidates for mayor. The others are Mayor Ricky Williams Jr., Donald Cruz, James McMahon, and Steve Nichols. McLean ran for Ward 2 alderman in 2015 and lost to incumbent alderman Rick Strebing. According to the Illinois State Board of Elections, a write-in candidate can trigger a primary election if that candidate files paperwork prior to the ballot certification on December 20th and becomes the fifth candidate in the race. McLean owns Pull Up, a rideshare transportation service in Danville. I'm wanting to see a turnaround in Danville, McLean said. The 27-year-old pointed out the roundabout and said he wants to see good purchasing and good choices made. McLean said he will submit petitions of registered voters too as part of his paperwork submission prior to December 20th. A primary on February 26th would narrow down the five mayoral candidates to four for the consolidated election on May 2nd. Okay, the next story is Financial Resources Director, Fired Officer Appeals Rejected. This is written by a Tracy Crane in Danville. The abrupt firing of Vermilion County's top finance officer 3 years ago did not violate Nicole Bogart's First Amendment rights, according to a federal appeals court. The recent decision by the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals is likely to end the of Bogart's quest to get her job back as the county's financial resource director. The law firm representing Bogart, O'Connor & O'Connor in Elmhurst said its client has no plans to seek an appeals court rehearing or a review before the U.S. Supreme Court. Bogart was financial resources director for 7 years under two county board chairmen prior to her firing by Republican Mike Marone, now representative in the 104th District, in December of 2014, about a month after Marone was elected board chairman. Bogart, a Democrat who had just lost a run for county recorder prior to her firing by Marone, presented evidence in her case that the previous Republican board chairman, Gary Wynard, endured political pressure from members of the local Republican Party to fire her as his chief financial officer. But Bogart's job, the appellate court explained in its November 26 decision, was a policy-making position, effectively a cabinet-level post in Vermilion County, requiring trust and confidence, and therefore a position exempt from the ban on political patronage dismissals. Earlier this year, U.S. District Judge Colin Sterling Bruce of the Central District of Illinois reached the conclusion that in his decision, which Bogart appealed, granting summary judgment in favor of Marone and the county, Bruce concluded that the substantial fiscal and budgetary responsibilities of Bogart's position fit an exemption defined in two other cases known as Elrod Branty exception. In those cases, the U.S. Supreme Court held that while public employers cannot condition employment on an individual's political affiliation, an employee's First Amendment right of political association leaves room for employers to dismiss employees in position where political loyalty is a valid job qualification. Both Bruce and the appellate judges agreed that Bogart's job responsibilities, as described by herself and others and defined in written job description, fit that exception. The focus, the appellate court said, is whether the job entails substantial policy-making responsibility, meaningful discretion in implementing policy goals of elected officials, or a need for confidentiality. Bogart held a senior position requiring the trust and confidence of the elected board members, including the county chairman, and entailing substantial policy-making authority, the appellate judges said, adding that budgeting decisions often are to municipal government what matters of foreign policy are at the national level. Municipal leaders need, the court continued, skilled and trusted confidence to shape and execute their fiscal policies. Bogart's position as financial resources director was such a position, the court stated in affirming Bruce's decision earlier this year. Just a couple minutes left, so I'll do a couple community briefs. In Danville, Wetlands Program, a program on wetland restoration opportunities, will be December 11th at Vermilion County Farm Bureau's conference room on U.S. Route 150. There will be coffee, donuts, and an open discussion at 9:30 a.m. with presentations from 10 to 11:30. People may come for information, or they may bring maps to see if their property could be restored into an area that's good for wildlife. Programs discussed include Pheasants Forever Habitat Assistance, USDA, U of I, SCARC, and others. Registration deadline is today. Call Lisa Lay at 442-8511 extension 3. And then Church Plans a Meal. Greater Shiloh Baptist Church at 609 North Bowman Avenue will serve pulled pork, butt, and catfish dinners with sides at from 11 to 3:30 p.m. Friday. Cost will be $10 donation. A bake sale also will be available. Carry out or eat in for delivery, or for more information, or they can deliver four or more dinners. Call 448-5502. And Knights of Columbus at 310 Bryan Avenue will serve spaghetti mascari style 5:30 to 7 p.m. on Saturday. The cost is $6. Also from 7 to 10, Dixie Flyer Band will perform. Cost will be $5 cover at the door. All are welcome. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, December 6, 2018. Hope you have a good week. Hopefully try to stay warm because it's pretty chilly out there. Anyway, have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye. Bye.